This morning's responsive reading came from Psalm number 59. So if you would like to join us, please get your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 59. Finding a title for this was quite easy. You can just simply borrow from the very psalm itself. Look at verses 1 and 2, the very first word, deliver. So this is simply entitled, A Cry. This was a cry, a desperate cry for God's deliverance. Or we can put it another way. This was a desperate cry for God's intervention. This is a cry on the behalf of one of God's saints, pleading and crying to God to literally butt into his life and to take care of his enemies. I find it amazing that one of the themes that is brought up in the Psalms quite often is the concept of how do we handle our adversaries. As you look at Psalm 59, he gives a little bit of a description of his adversaries. Look at verses 5 and following. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. They returned at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? So there's a brief description that David gives describing those who are his enemies. Now, this particular edition that I'm using, this large print King James Bible here, gives a little note that this was written and composed by David when Saul, King Saul, sent while they watched the house where David was residing in order to kill him. Now, your enemies today may not want to have, nor do they have any desire to physically remove you from the globe. I'm pretty confident that our enemies are not planning and plotting somehow to invade our home and simply bludgeon us to death. However, their words, false accusations, putting words in your mouth that you never said, and accusing you of things that you never did, is their way of attempting to kill you. If not kill you, at least cause you to be stymied in your progression and sanctification. Notice verses 3. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgressions, nor for my sin. How many people have manufactured words you've never said and are able to get into your psyche and even question your motives, why you've done certain things? I find that amazing, that your enemies are almost like the fourth member of the Godhead, that they have psychic powers to actually peer into your soul and even discover your motives behind what you post or what you say on social media. Notice what David says. It's not for anything that he's done, breaking God's law, even breaking the law of King Saul, whatever his little laws and idiosyncrasies were, nor for my sin. So David has enemies not because he's done anything wrong against them. You're not putting words in their lips, and you're not accusing them of actions that they have not done. But somehow, it's okay for them to do it to you. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God, verse 1. Defend me from them that rise up against me. So when we talk about an enemy, in our mind, we automatically think of soldiers in a trench, planes overhead, fleets of ships heading out to sea to blow up the world. But notice how verses 1 in Hebrew parallelism defines your enemy in context. Those who simply rise up against you. Again, they accuse you of things you've never done. Verse 3. They accuse you of things you've never said, verse 3. And to go one step further, they accuse or bring up accusations against your very motives, when only God is able to judge the intents of the heart, Hebrews 4 and 12. Only God's word can penetrate that deep into our innermost being and expose our motives. We can't do that towards another person. You may try, or we may try, and we're going to fail. Notice verse 4. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Again, he's totally innocent, but he's the target. Awake to help me, and behold. So here, once again, you're going to have enemies. If you're going to live faithful, if you're going to defend the truth, if you're going to preach a pure gospel, and you're going to defend Christianity and wage a good warfare, beloved, you're going to have enemies. In this context, in Psalm 59, David has not accumulated enemies because he's a bad guy. He's innocent. His own words, without my fault, are false, plural. Notice also verse 8, but thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen and derision. There are several times in Scripture where it makes reference to God laughing. There's one in Proverbs chapter 1. There's also, I believe, one in Psalms 2. God laughs. And his laughter, in context, is when he overturns the devices of the wicked. Verse 9, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Verse 10, God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. Again, you have a desire. You have brought them to God. You have brought their names and their accusations and their actions against you for no good reason. And you simply place them in God's hands and let him be your defender and the avenger. For God is my defense, verse 9. Verse 10, God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. You're simply going to sit back and you're going to watch God take care of those who wage war against you. Look at verse 10. For the sins of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Notice again, the method of operation by your enemies. Now, they're not going to physically come into your home and murder you, but they're going to murder your character. They're going to murder your reputation. They're going to try to murder your testimony and your witness to turn people against you. Verse 13, consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be. Let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. Again, he places his adversaries in God's hands, not his hands. At evening, let them return. Let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. Now, what's the application to all this? And this is not the first time, and I doubt it's not going to be the last time, that David provides your response, my response, in the light of our enemies. What do? Do we fold up like a box? Do we hide in a corner? Do we stop defending the truth? Do we compromise our standards? What do? In light of these enemies? 16 and 17. But I will sing of my power, of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. The bottom line from your pastor to you and to those that may be listening, irregardless of your enemies, you are not to stop your journey in sanctification. You are not to stop serving your God. You're not to stop worshiping him in the very tabernacle of your soul. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. So irregardless of what your enemies are doing or trying to do, if they cut you off, if you have become a pariah to them, if they have ostracized you, beloved, you still have a responsibility before God, because on the great day of judgment, you're not going to stand and give any account before your enemies here on earth. You're going to give your account to Almighty God, to whom you relied upon and to whom you chose to serve. Well, may the Lord truly bless his word. This is truly a sincere and a passionate cry for deliverance. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.